what Christ did for you? Is that all he did for you? He did nothing more. Because I tell you, those works were greater than that. He did much more for his chosen than that. Don't be like the foolish servant who took his one talent and buried it in the earth. All you do is think of yourself. And the way you think of yourself is not to truly save yourself, but just, what's the easiest way to be saved? Right? What's the easy road? What's the quick way? Alright, yeah, if you want to be, I can give you assurance of heaven. Just repeat after me. Lord, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And I know that there's nothing, and then they go lead you to some sort of sinner's prayer or something, which in itself is fine, as far as the ideas are fine. But they want you to be just now comfortable. Now just come to church and give. That's all you really need to do beyond that. Now, they don't really say that, but I'll tell you what, that's the effect. That's the effect. They don't really, they harp on getting you in the door yesterday. Not on today. It's always on getting people saved, because that's what they think God is obsessed with, just saving as many as he can. When the number's fixed. From God's perspective, the number is fixed. From my perspective, I have no idea what that number is. I have no idea who it is. You know, the guy who down the road maybe, let's say, is my enemy, right? Some guy who treats me like dirt, right? And he's my enemy. And then pretty soon, oh, he's my brother. You know, or that guy who you never thought. Right, suddenly, things change. People change. And God does his work. Verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, afflictions, in, oh, sorry, I read that twice, in stripes, in imprisonments, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love and feigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open to you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitening us, but ye are straitening your own bowels. Now for our recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children. Be ye also enlarged. And we'll hold there. I almost held after the first couple of verses of this little section. I always like to pick up my context again from verse 1 and back in the others. We're working together to cause people to enter into salvation, not in vain. And Paul's speaking specifically to the Corinthians, obviously. Now when he says, giving no offense in anything. An offense, the word means an occasion for stumbling. Right? Occasion where you mess somebody up. It can mean like an occasion to for someone to sin. Like, offering a former alcoholic a drink. That's an occasion for stumbling. You know? You give him a taste of the liquor, right? Now, I don't drink. And I don't know if I was an alcoholic or not. Some would probably say, yeah. And I care not, because my sobriety came by the power of God, not by 12 steps. Though I have respect for those who go through those. Because, even though it can happen miraculously, there's no excuse for us not to go out and try, you know? I look to God to turn me from my iniquities. I do. And in so doing, I try to find him everywhere. Can I find him this way, by 12 steps? Can I find it by prayer? Can I find it by fasting? Can I find the righteousness of God by this, by that, by the other means, you know? And most often it comes by suffering. Well, that means, well, no offense, don't offend anybody. That's not what he means. Since I mean, I don't want to seem like I'm contradicting the apostle, but I do understand the spirit in which he meant this. I mean, he did say, as deceivers, yet true. Meaning, some people might look at you as a deceiver, and they'll be offended at you. And Jesus, they were offended at him because of his doctrine. So obviously, what he means is in a specific sense. And a lot of times, that's what, you know, a lot of times people look at these absolute scriptures and they get absolutely confused. And now I become as a deceiver, yet I'm true. Because they say, Paul, you're twisting the word of God. No, I'm not. The word of God is as it is written, as it was intended. Not just any old way. And it's quite obvious, you know, it's like, it means in the evil way. You can give people offense the way Christ, because it's impossible, but that for offenses shall come. But woe to whom, them by whom they come, right? And they were offended at his doctrine. They're going to be offended at doctrine. Oh, we better hush up about, you know, let's say someone doesn't like predestination, right? Now, I don't want to harp on it to people. But again, if it needs to be said, it's the savior of death. You know, if it needs to be said and they're offended, you know, and they don't receive it, they stumble at the word, you know, that's not what Paul means. That I should, let's speak smooth things. Not right things. Let's speak smooth things. Let's prophesy deceits so that people will not be offended. Now, you definitely should not go out of your way to offend people, like to cast the word of God in the darkest possible light. I've been accused of that. I do not think I do that. I certainly do not intend to do that. But people have the thing so wrong. You know, they want to put every man in the driver's seat. They want to put man in control of everything. As far as salvation goes, that's what I mean. They want to put man in such a high state. And I know from man's perspective, he chooses these things because of what's in him, though.